Welcome to Shir and Sfarna on Parshas HaShavua. The Shir this evening is sponsored by Chana and Rachel Abramowitz, marking the yard site tonight of her mother, Dina Bas Simcha. The neshama should have an aliyah. She's seen much nachas ruach in the Torah mitzvahs and ma'asim tovim. The family is involved in. It's also sponsored by David Corral and Frima Gottlieb, marking the yard site of his father, Daniel Mordechai Ben Yisrael. The neshama should have an aliyah. She's seen much nachas ruach. The Torah mitzvahs and ma'asim tovim that the family is involved in. So we started seeing the Sfarno yesterday, the beginning of Parshas Korach, where he describes that Korach actually had a very cunning plan in order to give the impression or to spread the idea of the rebellion as quickly as possible amidst Klal Yisrael. The way the Sfarno understands is that he came with Dosan and Aviram and On Ben Peles in front of Moshe Rabbeinu at a time that Moshe Rabbeinu was seeing a large number of Jews in order to be done then Dim Torah. In other words, he was going to see them and execute judgment. He was giving advice, whatever he was doing. It was office hours. He was seeing many people. And he showed up, Korach showed up with 250 Nesi'ei Eda, with the 250 great leaders who were already on his side, such that when Korach began to present his complaints against Moshe Rabbeinu, the 250 people who just seemed on the surface to be part of the crowd, they didn't seem to be part of the delegation of Korach. That was just Korach, Dasan, Aviram, and On, or it would have been On. On dropped out, as we know from Chazal, but Korach, Dasan, Aviram, when they came before Moshe Rabbeinu, so they seem to be speaking as just three people. And all of a sudden, in the crowd, there are 250 people jumping up and down and saying, yeah, he's right, he's right, he's right, it's right. It seems like it's a grassroots response to the complaints of Korach. But in point of fact, the whole thing was orchestrated. The whole thing was worked out. And that, once people see, that the 250 people who seem to be spontaneously just endorsing everything that Korach is saying, so they say, okay, well, these are chashuv people. I guess if they feel that way, probably they're right. And, they get swept along in all of the enthusiasm. So in Pasuk, just continuing that theme, we find that the Pasuk Hey says as follows. So after Korach presents his tainus, his complaints, so Pasuk Dalet, Vayishma Moshe Vayipol HaPonav, Moshe hears everything that's being said to him. He falls on his face. Vaidaber el Korach. He spoke to Korach. Ve'el kol adoso lemor. And to all his congregation saying. Right? So before we get to the actual substance of what's said, it seems that the Sfarna was bothered by the following kasha. Why does it say the word el twice? Two, twice in this short phrase. Vaidaber el Korach. Ve'el kol adoso. Vaidaber el Korach v'adoso. He spoke to Korach and the congregation, Korach and his men. El Korach v'el adoso sounds like there's two separate acts which of speaking which are being done over. So in other words, uh-huh. Okay, maybe. We'll see. Okay. Yeah. Right. Okay. So perhaps let's see. So the Sfarno says, "Vaydaber al Korach v'al kol adoso, hodiyam." He informed them, "Shehirgish b'tachbulosam," that he was aware of their trickery. Uvekesher adosa, and with the rebellion that the congregation was engaged in. What's the Sfarno saying, and what is he picking up on in the pasuk? Yeah. Right. Right, so in other words, if you want to suggest that it's Korach on the one hand and Dasan Aviram on the other hand, But again, that doesn't seem to be the pasuk. In other words, El Korach v'El Kol Adasa. There are a lot of people there. There's Korach, there's Dasa Navim, there's 250 men. Right, right, okay, so you want to suggest he spoke to Korach one way, because again, that's Korach is a Talmud Chacham, he's speaking to him in a certain, he's speaking to him in a more, there's a certain dialogue that takes place between Talmud and Chachamim, and then to everybody else is just, we want more Cholent, we want more Cholent, we want more Cholent. Okay, so that's a different way that you speak to those people, right? You could say like that. Again, I think the Sfarno is saying something different, and I think what the Sfarno is saying is the Sfarno is giving two different interpretations to the word El. You know that the word El usually means two, in the sense of, Reuven speaking to Shimon, right? But El sometimes can be used in the sense of about, right? Either El, or sometimes even just the prefix lamed can be used in the sense of about. Va'amar Paro livnei Yisrael nevuchim heim ba'midbar. Right? Paro said, not Pashut Pshat, it's not to Klal Yisrael, right, that they're wandering the desert, but Paro said concerning B'nai Yisrael, that they are confused and in the desert. So I think what the... Right, so I think what the Sfarno is bringing out in this... Again, he doesn't say this, he says it tersely, but I think what the Sfarno was bringing out over here is Vayedaber El Korach, he spoke to Korach, Ve'el Kol Adoso, he spoke to him concerning the group of people which he had assembled. And basically, what did he say concerning the group of people that he had assembled? He basically said, Mr. Korach, I'm on to you. I understand what you did over here. I understand that these 250 people didn't spontaneously start saying, he's right, he's making a good point. I understand that this was planned. And, the first attack that Moshe Rabbeinu has, so to speak, back against Korach, is to say, I understand your trickery. I understand that when a person engages in trickery, it's probably a sign that they're at least not 100% L'shem Shamayim, that they're not coming just, you have a halachic opinion and I have a halachic opinion, that there's something more insidious that's going on over here. So that's Vayedaber El Korach, he spoke to Korach, Ve'el Kol Adoso, but concerning the entire group, that's Hogdiyam Shehir Gish B'tach Losam, he told them that he understood, the trickery that they were engaged in. So again, so he speaks to them, and then a little bit later on, in Pasuk Zayin, again he proposes the test with the ktaras, with bringing the incense, and then he adds at the end of Pasuk Zayin, Rav Lochem B'nei Levi, right? Very much for you, B'nei Levi. What's Rav Lochem B'nei Levi? What does that mean? So Rashi writes, Harbe Yoser Midai Lekachtem La'atzmechem Gedula. You've taken much more stature upon yourself than is really appropriate. In other words, you, B'nei Levi, are now seeking the even higher role of the kahuna. You already have a lot, so for you to go and ask for this extra step, you're being piggish. You're trying to bite off more than you're really entitled to. This one is a slightly different take on this phrase. Rav lochem b'nei Levi, atem ha'adam asher l'korach, dover gadol atem atilim aleichem. You who are joining up with Korach are taking upon yourselves something which could really punish you and it could backfire against you in a terrible way. Ki yoser yiktsof Hashem aleichem, b'yoschem kfar nivcharim la'avodasa. Insofar as HaKadosh Baruch Hu has already chosen you, B'nai Levi, for his service, at least in part, your attempt to get more for yourself is going to bring an even greater punishment. Why? Because to the extent to which you're already close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu by serving him, your attempt to try to undermine HaKadosh Baruch Hu will bring an even greater punishment. Something along the lines of HaKadosh Baruch Hu medakdek b'tzadikim kechut ha'sayros. We know Chazal tell us that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is exacting with tzadikim to an even greater extent than he is with regular people. So too, the B'nai Levi, insofar as they're already close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, if you, B'nai Levi, are going to rebel, you're going to suffer more acutely than if somebody from Naphtali or from Asher or from one of the other Shvatim had rebelled against Moshe Rabbeinu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu expects more from you, the B'nai Levi. In other words, so the punishment that's got a boomerang back against you is going to be that much worse. A little bit later on in the Pesukim, so Pasuk Yud Beis, Vayishlach Moshe l'krola Dasan v'aviram b'nei Eliyav, Vayomer lo na'aleh. Moshe summons Dasan v'aviram, they say, we're not going to come. Hama'at ki ha'elisonu, mi'eret zavas cholov udvash l'hamisenu b'amidbar. Is it a little thing that you brought us up from a land that was already flowing with milk and honey? Again, they say it ironically, sarcastically. You brought us up from Egypt, which was a land flowing with milk and honey. HaKadosh Baruch Hu described Eretz Yisrael as a land flowing with milk and honey. So, you know, they're kind of taking the words of HaKadosh Baruch Hu and throwing them back ironically and sarcastically. Egypt was a wonderful place. You took us up from Egypt, l'hamisenu b'amidbar, that we should die in the desert, ki sistorer aleinu gam yistorer, and you're going to lord over us in addition to that? Aflo eretz zavas cholav udvash aviosanu? You didn't bring us to this quote-unquote, you know, a land flowing with milk and honey. Batitzen lonu nachlo sado v'chorem. And you didn't give us, in other words, the word you didn't, right, lo, you know, extends to both of these phrases. V'lo titen lonu nachlo sado v'chorem. You did not give us an inheritance of a field and a vineyard. What's this reference to an inheritance of a field and a vineyard? In other words, you know, when they make fun of Moshe Rabbeinu, that he didn't bring them that he took them out of a place flowing with milk and honey and did not bring them to a place flowing with milk and honey, we understand that's a sarcastic, biting reference to what HaKadosh Baruch Hu had already told Moshe Rabbeinu back in Parashas Shmos, that the plan is to bring Klal Yisrael to Eretz Yisrael, which is a land flowing with milk and honey. But what's this reference to Nachlas Sada V'chare, to this inheritance of field and vineyard? So the Sfarna has a very interesting pshat. He says, Lodai shahariyosalonu lahotzionu me'eretz zovas cholav udvash el ha'midbar. Not only did you take us out of Egypt, which again, in their, you know, way of looking at things, was a land flowing with milk and honey into the desert. Ki gam atom etzachek banu. You're making fun of us, they say to Moshe Rabbeinu. Shelo havi sonu el ha'aretz shamarta klal. You didn't bring us to any country, you know. We would have had tainas on you had you brought us to Eretz Yisrael, and it would have turned out to be a dud, you know? In other words, it's not a land flowing with milk and honey. What are you talking about? You know, all we see is waffling. That's all we see around here. No honey, nothing, right?
It seems almost like this is part of right after the scene of the Miranda. Because, like you said yesterday, they're very angry.
Right, so the Ramban makes mamash that point. The Ramban makes mamash that point. In other words, they're saying to him, you know, you took us out to let us die in the desert. That's the direct reference to the Chet HaMeraglim. That's the Ramban quotes this. It's a very good point. The Ramban quotes this in his argument with Ibn Ezra, you know, that the Ramban says, you see that the incident with Korach took place right after the Chet HaMeraglim because they're bitter over the fact that they thought they're going into Eretz Yisrael. Now they're going to die in the desert. They're very bitter over that. So, you know, so not only did you not bring us anywhere, but udvarecha heim ki'ilu nosatu lanu bo nachlo sada v'chayrem. There were so many things, Moshe Rabbeinu, they say to him, there were so many things you said to us that made reference to our having fields and vineyards. And now we see that you were just, you were making fun of us the whole time. What are they referring to? V'yomat b'tzavos chal mitzvos atluyos v'aretz. Earlier in the Chumash, right back in Parshas in Sefer Vayikra, right in Emor, in Kedoshim, and in Emor, you told us various mitzvos that depend on Eretz Yisrael. V'yom Maraton, you said among other things, lo sechale pa'as sadcha uperet karmecha. You told us there's a mitzvah of peya, that applies to the corners of our fields. And you told us about various mitzvos that apply to the grapes that grow in our vineyards, right? That knows you have to, leave over a certain amount for the poor. So, you know, you were making fun of us that whole time. You're talking about your vineyard, and you're talking about, you know, your field. There are no fields, there are no vineyards. We're not going there to Israel. So the whole parashas kedoshim, you know, every time you mention the mitzvah tzuyah ba'aretz, it's like a knife in our side. You know, you're making fun of us the whole time. That's vatiten lanu nachlas adu v'charem. You know, you didn't give us that which you promised us. You kept talking about, you know, losuchala pas sadcha, you know, the corner of your field. There is no field. We don't have any field. Where's the field? You know, you're joking. Ki'ilu kvar haisa shalanu. You spoke to us back in Sefer Vayikra as if we owned the fields already. V'hayolaru basad v'charem. You spoke to us like we already had these fields and these vineyards. And it's all a joke. And it's a cruel joke, Moshe Rabbeinu. And we're not going to buy into it. Ha'enei ho'anoshim ahem tinakir. They say to him, will you gouge out the eyes of those people? What does that mean? Right? So, ha'anoshim ha'hem, those people, all the Mefarshim understand, is a reference to Dasa Naviram. Unless they're speaking about themselves in the third person in a euphemistic kind of fashion. You know, you'll gouge out our eyes. But what do you mean you'll gouge out our eyes? So Rashi understands, Ha'enei ha'anoshim ahem tenaker lo na'ale, the end of the pasuk, is all one phrase. And Rashi renders it, Afilu ato shaleach lenakeres einenu im lo na'ale lecha, lo na'ale. It's an if-then kind of statement. Even if you say, you must come. You know, what's Moshe Rabbeinu doing? He's summoning Das and Naviram. Das and Naviram say, we're not going to come. We're so not going to come that even if you say, I'll take out your eyes if you don't come, we're still not going to come. We have no interest in coming whatsoever. It's an expression of how staunchly they feel they're not going to come before Moshe Rabbeinu. The Sfarno understands differently. He says, Hatachshov lenakir einenu. The Sfarno separates the phrase Ha'inehu Anashim Ahem Tenaker from the last two words in the pasuk Lo Na'ale. Ha'inehu Anashim Ahem Tenaker, in according to the Sfarno, means, do you seek to gouge our eyes out? In other words, are you think we're idiots? You think we're, you know, you don't think we're onto you? You think that you can blind us? You know, you think that you can get away with all of your trickery, Moshe Rabbeinu? It's very interesting, you know. In other words, we saw earlier in the Sfarno that Moshe Rabbeinu says to Korach and to Dasan Naviram, I'm onto your tricks. And what's the response of Dasan Naviram? We're onto your tricks, Moshe Rabbeinu. Right? So, again, Chazal already tell us that kol haposel b'mumo posel, right? In other words, when a person, you know, talks about something that's deficient in the other person, very often he's really just reflecting something that's deficient in himself. You know, when he points out the problem that you have, very often he's really suffers from the same problem. So here they, Dos and Aviram, point out, Moshe Rabbeinu, you're playing tricks on us. Yeah, but actually they're playing tricks on him, right? That's really what's going on over here. But, you know, kol haposel b'mumo posel, they're really the ones who are playing tricks. Yeah, right. So, I mean, again, you know, we have many, many Mamore Chazal, but to mention one Maimer Chazal that we alluded to before, that pasuk, Va'omar Paro Luvnei Yisrael Nevuchim Heim Bamidbar, right? So there's an interpretation, the Targum Yonasan Ben Uziel says that Dasan Aviram didn't leave Mitzrayim with the rest of everybody else. They were hanging out with Paro. V'omar Paro, Livnei Yisrael, again, the Targum Yonasan Ben Uziel understands the Lamed over there, as two, not regarding, which the simple pshat is regarding, but Paro said to Bnei Yisrael. Who are Bnei Yisrael? They left already. Dasan Aviram, they stuck around in Mitzrayim. So Paro turns to Dasan Aviram and he says, you know, Nevuchim Heim Bamidbar, all of your brethren must be, wandering around there in the desert. They're obviously lost. You know, they, again, according to that interpretation, you know, they weren't even leaving Mitzrayim. with the rest of the Jewish people. So again, yeah, I mean, there's no shortage of history, you know, between Dasan Naviro and Moshe Rabbeinu. So obviously these words of Dasan Naviro were very hurtful. Moshe is very disturbed by what they say. And he says to Hashem, Al Tefen Al Minchasam, don't turn to their mincha. Don't turn to their offering. What exactly are we talking about? Don't turn to their offering. So again, Rashi, Lefi Pshuto, the simple Pshat is, Haktaras Shehim Akrib Lefonecha Machar, Al Tefen Al Alehem. Moshe Rabbeinu was referring to the test of the Ktaras, of the incense which he set up, and Moshe Rabbeinu turns to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and says, they're going to offer up their Ktaras, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I'm asking you, please, don't accept the Ktaras which they're going to offer up. It seems that the Sfarno was bothered by this interpretation, even though Rashi says it's the Pshat, because why would Moshe Rabbeinu have to ask for HaKadosh Baruch Hu not to accept the Ktaras? I mean, does Moshe Rabbeinu think that HaKadosh Baruch Hu all of a sudden is going to say, you know what? I know that I said that Aaron and his sons are going to be the Kohanim, but actually I had a change of heart. You know, we're going to give it over to this family. We know that Aaron and his sons are selected. You know, we know that it's reasonable that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to accept the Ktaris of Aaron and his sons and not of everybody else. So, what's Al Tefer Al Minchasam? So he writes as follows. This final. Al teifen el shum min karbon shiakrivu l'chaper aleihem. It's possible that Korach and his group of people will have a pang of regret. They'll have a pang of conscience, and they will offer up karbonos to seek to achieve kapara, to achieve some kind of atonement. They don't have a lot of time to do that. I mean, you know, in other words, tomorrow is already going to be the test with the Ktaras. But, you know, maybe between now and then they'll have a change of heart. So, Al Tefer Al Minchasam, says the Sfarno, means, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, says Moshe Rabbeinu, don't accept any of their karbanos, even karbanos that have nothing to do with this particular episode, don't accept any karbanos that they offer up in an attempt to do tshuva. Basically, lock the doors of tshuva in front of them. Amazing statement, right? No, it's unusual that we find the idea of tshuva being locked. But here continues the Sfarno as follows. V'zeh, the reason that I'm asking you, Hashem, not to accept their karbanos, in other words, not to accept their tshuva, is ki eini mochel al elboni. I, Moshe Rabbeinu, am not ready to waive my being insulted in this particular case. My covet has been trampled upon, and I am not willing to be mochel. I'm not willing to wave and say, you know, forget about it. And there's no way for people to achieve kapara and mechila without the consent of the injured party, without the mechila of the injured party, ka'amram, as Chazal say, avonos, Shemein Adam lechaveiro, Ein Yom HaKippur mechaper shiratze chaveiro. Right, the famous Mishnah at the end of Masechus Yuma. Right, when it comes to aveiros between man and his fellow man, even Yom Kippur is not mechaper until you get the person to appease the person who was injured. Right, so the question is, so, you know, why did Moshe Rabbeinu have to state this to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Al Tefer Al Minchasam, you know, isn't it automatic if Moshe Rabbeinu was not going to be Mochel, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu would accept the Karbon. The way I understand the Sfarno is that Al Tefer Al Minchasam is essentially Moshe Rabbeinu's backhanded way of saying, I just want to state for the record that I'm not being Mochel, that I'm not forgiving, you know, these people for what they've done, you know, and the outcome of that will be Al Tefen Al Minchasam, you know, don't accept their karbanos, even their karbanos which are meant to try to achieve kapara, because I just want to make a statement. I'm not mochel, you know. I'm not, you know. I'm not forgiving them for this terrible sin. What's that? Right. So let's talk about that for a minute.
The question here was good because you mochel without them asking. I'll be so.
Right. Okay, maybe. So let's talk about that issue for a minute then. In other words, on a certain level, you might say, wow, that's really petty of Moshe Rabbeinu, you know? In other words, you care so much about your kavod, you know, you know that's a rather petty thing. A person should be mochel, hanelovim veinam ovim, shomu kharpasim veinam meshivim, right? You know, we have all these mamari chazal that we could bring out over here. Right. Okay. Okay. So one answer might be, even if they make a pretense of asking for mechila, it's probably not sincere, right?
Right.
Right. Right. But it seems like the Svarno is going even further than that. He seems to be saying, even if they were to be sincere, I don't want to be mochel. I don't want to be mochel. Even if they al teifen omen chasam, you know. And maybe that's just going back to Yaakov's question from before. Maybe that's why he doesn't just say, I don't want to be mochel, but rather he focuses on Ribono Shel Olam, don't accept their karbonos, meaning, you know, even if they go quietly and they bring karbonos in a way that, you know, seems to indicate sincerity and the like, still don't accept it. Yeah. Right, and Moshe's onuf me'on mikol ha'adam is a tremendous onuf. Right, so it just. Right. Okay. So let's expand on that a little bit. Right. I mean, again, just as David points out, so we just read not so long ago, but Moshe onuf me'on mikol ha'adam asher al-pnei ha'adam. Moshe Rabbeinu was a very easygoing. He was a humble person. You know, wasn't going to stand up for himself, right? So here, the reason Moshe Rabbeinu was not being mochel, presumably, is because it's not just about a personal slight that he's experiencing. The rebellion of Korach ultimately is undermining HaKadosh Baruch Hu's plan for Klal Yisrael. It's undermining Aaron and his sons being chosen as the Kohanim. It's undermining, again, you know, depending on which statements in Chazal you're working with over here, but it's undermining the authority of Moshe Rabbeinu over Klal Yisrael. Moshe Rabbeinu as the Mekabel HaTorah, as the one who received the Torah, and his unique relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. In other words, much the same way that even though Moshe Rabbeinu doesn't respond to Aaron and Miriam in Parshas Baloscha when they... You know, when they say, you know, you, Moshe Rabbeinu, are really no different than any other Navi, HaKadosh Baruch Hu at that point intercedes, because the fact that Moshe Rabbeinu's Nevuah is fundamentally different than every other Navi's Nevuah is so basic. It's one of the Yud Gimel Ikrei Emunah. It's one of the 13 principles of faith. Yes, you know, it's a fundamental idea that Moshe Rabbeinu's Nevuah is different than the Nevuah of everybody else. So too over here, Moshe Rabbeinu is basically saying, I'm not going to be mochel because what's at stake over here? Not just, you know, my covenant. If it was my covenant, okay, so, you know, I don't care. But what's at stake over here is the very bedrock of Klal Yisrael, of the Kohanim, of the leadership, Al Pi Torah. So I'm not going to be mochel because it's not for me to be mochel. Melech shemochel al kvodo ein kvodo mochel. Chazal tell us that a king doesn't have the right to be mochel on his covenant. You know, there's a certain stature that somebody like that has to maintain for the good of the nation. So that's what Moshe Rabbeinu was saying over here. Al teifel min chasam, they can't do tshuva because I'm not going to be mochel. If it seems like they're going to try to do tshuva over here, and again, I guess the tshuva they would kind of do would be just an apology to Moshe Rabbeinu for having, you know, spoken in a
the chutzpah to go away to him. Right, but the agenda wouldn't change. So in other words, Misa, right, right. So in other words, all those things, Moshe Rabbeinu was basically saying, the doors of tshuva are locked at this point already, either because of the Chilul Hashem, or because of the foundational nature of this Aveira itself, so tshuva is not going to help over here. Okay, Rabbi Chanan ben Akasha Omer, Ratzah HaKadosh Baruch Hu L'Zachus Yisrael, L'Fikach Hirba Lahem,